Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Tuesday, September 26, 2017. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
Hey, man, it goes. Good to be back on the show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're around and can be on. So it's great to have you here. It's also great to have Jeff Butts here. How are you, Jeff?
I am fantastic.
Sweet. And I'm pretty excited because I did exactly what you shouldn't do. And I took my production Mac to High Sierra and just rolled with it. So
that's how you are, dude. That's how you roll.
That's how I roll.
I've had my production Mac on High Sierra since the first developer beta.
Yeah, well,
that's how you roll.
There you go. Yeah. So anyhow, I'm excited that everything is working as it should, I say now, and I'm glad that I'm not having any trouble. So speaking of High Sierra, we need to talk about why some people are freaking out and thinking they shouldn't go to High Sierra. And it isn't because they're worried about app compatibility. It's because they're worried about a security threat where their passwords could be stolen. So here's what I'm talking about. There's a security threat for macOS that was revealed yesterday, which is when High Sierra dropped. And it's called Keychain Stealer. And what it does is it can siphon out the passwords from your keychain database and then dump them into a clear text file.
And, oh, that's great.
Yeah. Well, and if by great you mean, holy crap, how is this even possible? Yeah. So that led to this immediate concern just all through the web that High Sierra has major security issues and you shouldn't upgrade to High Sierra because of Keychain Stealer. And OMG BBQ, how could this possibly happen? So here's what we know. And between the three of us, I bet we can sort through all of this. So the way this works, first, it's a proof of concept. It is not in the wild.
Right.
Second, you have to install an app for this to work. So that means someone has to trick you into installing it, whatever the app would be, which means it's probably going to be a Trojan horse if this ever gets out into the wild. It also assumes that the password for your keychain is the same as the password for your login account on your Mac. If they don't match up, then this doesn't work. Gatekeeper ought to warn you that this is an unsigned app and tell you that you shouldn't let it install. So there's all these things that have to come together to make this work. And it's not just High Sierra. This impacts previous versions of macOS. So if you're thinking, I won't go to High Sierra and I'll be safe, nope, that's not how it works. If you're on Sierra, you are still susceptible to this, but keep in mind it's a proof of concept. So what do you guys think about this?
You know, I love food, but I hate food. I hate fear, uncertainty, and doubt, which is what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a credible threat? Potentially. What's that?
I pronounce that FUD.
FUD? Yeah. Okay. All right, Omer.
I see what you did there.
You like that?
That was really clever.
It's okay. Most people are not going to install unsigned apps.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to affect most users. So why is everybody freaking out outside of a specific community or two communities of users?
Which communities are you referring to?
Well, one is the community of users who regularly install apps that are by shady developers.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is the Hackintosh community. Because we have to.
Now, I'm assuming that if you're someone that's in the Hackintosh community, that you're also someone that's technologically savvy enough to be aware of potential security threats and to take your own measures to help mitigate those problems?
Most people are. There are a few enthusiastic techno amateurs out there who can follow directions, but aren't always cautious about what third-party apps or third-party drivers they're downloading.
Okay. Well, that group, that applies to more than just Hackintosh.
Yeah.
Builders.
And it's a very small portion of Mac users. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal, folks.
So now, Brian, you have been busy with a lot of other things, so you haven't been as deep in the tech world for the past few days. What's your take on this?
Well, I mean, this sort of thing is always concerning, but I mean, the reality is that the way this is going to get you is the same way any other Trojan could get you, which is that you give a permission to.
Yeah.
To install. So to me, this sounds like something that we need to be aware of, but it's not necessarily anything that we need to be freaking out over. Hopefully Apple is going to correct it. Have you got any statements out of Apple yet?
Yes. Apple is saying that Gatekeeper is doing its job. Also, we know that Apple was notified of this on September 7th. And is supposedly working on a fix.
Great. Giddy up.
So my assumption is that we'll have a security update that rolls out probably as part of the first bug fix release for High Sierra. And it'll just be part of that. And there you go. And then, of course, there'll be a matching security update for Sierra, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And the fact that it affects both of them means that it is by definition not a reason not to upgrade from Sierra to High Sierra, especially when we're for those of us with older Macs in our stables, getting lots of reports of older Macs seeing new life with High Sierra. So yeah,
I can verify this that.
This doesn't seem like a reason to not install High Sierra. Actually, this is not a reason not to install High Sierra. It is a reason to always be mindful of what you're installing on your system.
Absolutely.
There you go. Yeah. I wrote a piece about this morning, and I wrapped up the piece saying this is not a reason to skip High Sierra for now. The reason, excuse me, that you may want to skip it is if you have apps that you need to use on a regular basis that are not High Sierra compatible yet.
Right.
That's a much more valid reason.
And that's a reason that we have with every new version of macOS. Mm-hmm. It's nothing new.
Right. And if you follow the steps that we've outlined, like in yesterday's show, make sure everything's up to date before you do the installer, and you're probably going to be fine. Assuming you know all your apps are supposed to be compatible.
Right.
You know, I suppose this is a good reminder for some of us, too, to make sure that we don't have the same password on our keychain as we use for to log into our Macs. And I mean, not even just for this, but just because that's good security.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's one extra layer of defense between you and the bad guys.
Yep. Yeah.
I like that idea. All right. So now that I'm feeling a lot better about High Sierra and security, I'm curious. And when I say I'm curious, I'm totally setting you guys up to roll with this. What do you think about the current state of app pricing for macOS and iOS?
OMG.
Well, Jeff, what do you mean by that?
Some people just don't get it. There is one app that just came out yesterday, I believe, and it's a phenomenal app. And it's a video editing app that is feature-rich, does way, way, way more than iMovie does. And the developers are charging. Well, first of all, they're giving it to you for free with most of the features enabled. Okay. To get the pro features, you have to pay a monthly subscription fee or a one-time fee of $39.99.
Okay.
And people are just falling to pieces over this.
All right, so I'm going to stop you for one moment because I can hear the yells coming back through the internet right now. What's the name of the app? I want to check out the app. So what's it called?
Enlight Video Leap.
Okay. Then I'll include a link in the show notes so that that all you have to do is click on it. But oh, yeah. You have to click from your iOS device.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It is such a... And people are bashing on it. They're calling Lightrix, the developers behind it, they're calling them greedy and selfish. And all I'm sitting here thinking is, do you people not understand that when you have a job, you have to get paid for that job? That they can't go out and buy groceries based on the free features.
No, the answer to that, Jeff, is that yes, many people do not understand that. This has been an issue when it comes to digital content for years. People expect their stuff for free. Just give me. This has been an issue that we've been talking about for years.
Oh, I know. I just wonder, when does the entitlement mentality stop?
It doesn't. And Apple gets a big part of the blame on this particular issue. This is something that Jeff and I have talked a little bit about on the Apple Context Machine. And by a little bit, of course, I mean
a lot.
Exhaustive and in great detail. Okay. But I don't think we've ever mentioned it here on TDO. There was an economist who put out a position paper, and it's been a while since I've never actually read it myself.
Well, like we say on Apple Context Machine, why prepare? Also
exactly. We don't actually prepare for anything. Yeah. But and it's been a while since I actually talked to anybody who had directly read it. But here's what I remember. His theory is that if Apple had made the minimum price $1 instead of free, it would have had a drastic effect on the economy of the App Store. And part of this was based on a lot of research that he had done using things like... I got to get this right. Putting chocolates for sale on counters, like a grocery store checkouts.
Okay.
So you got one bin of free chocolate and one bin of chocolate with the price.
Right.
And when the free chocolate is when the for fee chocolate is, I think, a nickel, people take the free one. And when the for fee profit the chocolate is was a quarter, I believe, they would instead pay for the quarter one and not get the free one.
Really?
Yeah. And if free apps hadn't been a thing, you wouldn't have had the exact same rush to the bottom, which is everything being free. No, wait, maybe, you know, Kali, I'm doing such a terrible job of this. I think his theory was that the was the difference between making it $4.99 and 99 cents. That was the problem. Okay. Yeah, good Lord. Okay. I'm messing this up. It's been a long time since I've actually looked at this research. But the point is that Apple does, I think, get some of the blame here. The whole concept of the 99 cent app just resulted in this immediate rush to the bottom and this entitlement mentality from many people in our community who just think that they should get the world handed to them on a big silver platter and not have to pay anything for it.
Yeah. And excuse me. And I've noticed a trend over the past few years where people perceive the value of a mobile device app differently than they perceive the value of a computer app. You know, like I'm meaning iPhone and iPad apps versus Mac apps.
Versus a Mac app. And here's the thing. The Enlight Video Leap is comparable, if not superior, to a lot of the video editing apps I've used on my Mac.
And it runs on your iPhone or iPad instead.
It runs on my iPhone and my iPad.
You know, I have seen similar complaints about the OmniGroup apps, which I use extensively.
Mm-hmm, so, as do I.
Yeah, so on my Mac and iPhone, I'm using OmniOutliner and OmniFocus all the time. On my Mac, I use OmniGraffle a lot, and my guess is now that iOS 11 is out, I'm going to be using it a lot more on my iPad Pro. But the point is, these are not 99-cent apps. These are apps that are designed for serious users, and right. They carry a comparable price tag.
And Video Leap is meeting both audiences. They're offering you plenty of features for free, and then more advanced, more high-powered features behind a paywall. And I think that's a perfectly valid model. I don't fully agree with the subscription model, because I think we can get carried away and blow our entire budget on subscriptions. But I will gladly pay $39.99 one time for Video Leap.
You know, if it's an app that you knew you're going to be using, there you go.
Yeah.
You pay for it, and now you're also supporting the developers so that they can support you and yep. Add in new features, fix bugs, and support new operating systems when they roll out.
And call me a bleeding heart liberal conservative, but it also enables them to feed their families.
Yep. That's I think that's another thing that a lot of people forget about, which is that developers are in business to give us a product, but in exchange get paid for that product so that they can support themselves.
Yeah, and a lot of people forget that, you know, Apple pays out billions to developers, and we think, you know, all these fat cat developers rolling around in their Scrooge McDuck's mansions, and it's not like that. It is a tiny percentage of developers who get the vast majority of that money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The vast majority of developers are not making anywhere near a living wage selling their apps. They're all, you know, they're all hoping for that big break. And it's if you want good software, you got to pay for it. If you want good video content, you got to pay for it. If you want good books, you got to pay for it. You stuff know, doesn't come for free.
Here's an example. Mm-hmm. One of the I got the opportunity to speak with one of the developers who was on Planet of the Apps. Mm-hmm. And this guy, and I can't remember his name. The app's name is Evolve. It's a calorie tracking app that lets you take a picture of your food, I think, and then it tells you how many calories that is. Or you type in what you want to eat, and it tells you how many calories it is. Anyways, he was developing this app while driving for either Lyft or Uber.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to support his family. But while he's developing this app, even though he's been on Planet of the Apps and he's gotten funding through an Uber client and through Planet of the Apps, he's still having to work another job to make sure his family gets fed.
I think it's easy to forget that there are real people behind the apps that we buy.
Yep. I think you're right.
Okay, don't get me wrong. Being on the App Store should not be in any way some sort of guarantee that you're going to be able to make a living. You still have to be able to produce a quality app. But yes. The thing that gets my personal goat, and I believe that it gets Jeff's goat and Jeff's goat as well, is when people get pissy about an app that costs more than nothing. And mm-hmm. You know, I love seeing developers who are proud enough of their product to charge 30, 40, 20, 50, 60, 70 bucks. So, you know, so like real money if they're offering us something that is of value.
Yeah.
Yes. And I have no problem paying those prices for those apps. And you know, like the value that I get out of OmniFocus every day far exceeds the money that I paid for it.
Now, is this something that people do who are organized?
Yeah, it's something that that if I showed you, you'd be like, "What is this black wizardry?"
I've heard of being organized. I've heard of this thing. I just don't know anything about it.
If I didn't have OmniFocus, my freelancing business would tank. I'd never get anything done.
Yep. We should have a club. We should have t-shirts. Why don't we have t-shirts for this?
Hey, speaking of t-shirts, I got to get to Alcatraz today.
Yes, you do. All right. Well, then.
Yeah, your PO called. He wants to know when you're going to be there.
Well, we don't want you in any more trouble than you already are, Brian. So I'm going to wrap up the show so that you can take care of your situation. So, Brian, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man. Always good.
Yes, always good. And Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.